The new poll showing Trump's approval rating underwater in 47 states is striking in its geographic breadth. But I want to be careful about how we interpret it, because polling has had structural problems for several cycles now. That said, being below 50% approval in 47 of 50 states, this far into a second term, is a data point that can't be entirely dismissed. The question is what's driving it, because the composition of the disapproval matters as much as the aggregate number.
Right, and this is where I'd apply some political economy analysis. The states where the disapproval is deepest are almost certainly the usual suspects, coastal blue states where Trump was never going to be popular. What matters more for any forward-looking political read is what's happening in the states that were genuinely competitive in 2024: Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. If the underwater margin in those states is widening, that has real implications for the midterms that Bishop Barber is mobilizing around.
Speaking of which, Bishop William Barber's appearance at Big Bethel AME Church in Atlanta is the launch of what's being described as a national tour targeting infrequent Black voters ahead of November. Barber has been one of the most consistently effective organizers on voting rights issues since the Moral Mondays movement he led in North Carolina. The AME Church Network, one of the oldest and most geographically distributed Black church networks in the country, gives him institutional infrastructure that most political operations would pay hundreds of millions to replicate. Atlanta, as the launch city, is deliberate. Georgia's Senate race and several competitive House seats make it a priority target for Democrats trying to regain ground.
The bunker story is, frankly, politically damaging in a specific and concrete way. Former officials told The Washington Post that a classified Obama-era facility, apparently built during that administration under the continuity of government program, already provides the kind of presidential nuclear protection that Trump has cited as the justification for his $400 million ballroom-adjacent project at one of his properties. If accurate, it means the public rationale for the expenditure is false on its face. This isn't a dispute about cost estimates or design specifications. It's a claim that the stated need doesn't exist.
The political vulnerability there is significant. $400 million is a number that lands viscerally with ordinary Americans, regardless of their partisan affiliation. And framing it as spending $400 million on a project at a property the president personally benefits from, for protection he already has, is the kind of story that travels across political tribes in ways that purely partisan attacks don't.
The USS Lincoln story is the one that I think has the most emotional resonance and the most political complexity. A sailor is on a 9-month deployment, that's active duty, that's sacrifice that both parties rhetorically valorize, and during that deployment, ICE arrests that sailor's father. The optics collision between military service and immigration enforcement is exactly the kind of thing that makes immigration policy complicated for Republicans in close races. It's not abstract. It's not a policy debate. It's a specific family in a specific situation.
And it puts military readiness advocates and immigration hardliners within the same coalition into direct tension. If you're a service member or a veteran and you see that story, you're asking a question that goes beyond party loyalty. The Trump administration's position is that immigration law applies regardless of family relationship to service members. That's a legally defensible position. Whether it's a politically sustainable one in the context of a midterm environment is a different question.
On Social Security, Trump studying Australia's superannuation model is genuinely interesting policy territory. Australia's system is a mandatory defined contribution framework where employers contribute a percentage of wages, currently 11%, into individual retirement accounts. It has produced high retirement savings rates and reduced fiscal dependence on the state pension. The challenge for applying it to the American context is the transition cost. You can't simultaneously fund current Social Security benefits and redirect current worker contributions into new private accounts without creating a multi-trillion dollar financing gap. Every serious economist who has modeled this acknowledges that the transition cost is enormous.
And Social Security's trust fund is on track to be depleted by the early 2030s, which means the political window for any reform is closing. Whether what Trump is signaling is genuine policy exploration or positioning for a midterm narrative, that framing debate matters for understanding what comes next.